you would thoroughly enjoy, as I did, the scripture reading a little earlier in that very unique accent that we heard it in. I mean, wasn't that great? That's the way to do Easter, right? I'm glad you're all here today. As was said before, I'm glad to see all the wonderful colors out there. And we've got some colors up here. When I was growing up, I knew there was a time I needed to clean up my act. Well, all this detergent up here. Well, okay. Maybe that's not funny. They said they were going to push me off the stage, but we didn't get that far. But I guess I have less roaming room, so I won't go back that far. But anyway, if you want to follow along this morning, I really would like you this morning to take your copy of God's Word and turn with me right now. Take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 28. It's the last chapter of the great story of Jesus Christ told by Matthew. Matthew chapter 28. I wish I could do that accent. Do not be afraid. You know, the way he did that. That was just great. I love it. All right. So we're in Matthew chapter 28. I think you can guess what we're going to talk about today. The rest of the world is celebrating Easter. We celebrate Resurrection Day every Lord's Day. Amen? So we'll just do it like we would do it even next Sunday or the next. But we'll talk specifically about the resurrection today. The day that Jesus died was seemingly a day of victory for His enemies. The priests thought that they had gotten rid of the one who spoke before them with authority. The Pharisees thought that they had gotten rid of the one who rebuked them for their hypocrisy. And the Roman officials thought that they had gotten rid of the one who had caused so much disturbance in their society. They, in their minds, had defeated Jesus. And yet you and I today know 2,000 years later, that you cannot defeat the Son of God. Amen? He had a victory over them while they thought that they were victorious over Him. Their apparent victory was only a springboard that brought Jesus into the ultimate victory, the victory over the grave, the victory over death, the victory that we call the resurrection. And although Jesus predicted His resurrection at least a few times during His earthly ministry, it would seem that no one really either understood or took Him seriously. Instead, they only guarded against His body being stolen. But the day came when Jesus said it would, that glorious third day. For on earth, someone once said, earth's saddest day and earth's gladdest day are 3 days apart. Jesus died on the cross, but 3 days later, He rose again. And I'll tell you what, it feels good to say that this morning. Jesus lives. I love that song. That's really my favorite song. Jesus lives. And I would like to make a little bit of a critical correction this morning to the scripture reading from the NIV today. Where it said, the angel, it said to them, Jesus has risen. I'll make a correction today. It's not Jesus has risen. Jesus is risen. That's really what the text says there. It's not past tense. It's not some artifact of history sometime long ago that He did raise one time, some 2,000 years ago. He has risen. No, He is risen. We serve a living Savior. He is risen today. Has risen, is risen, will always be risen. And we celebrate that this very day, the Lord's Day, and every Lord's Day. But as the Sabbath in Matthew chapter 28 was nearing its end, the body of Jesus lay in the tomb. However, when the sun arose, the Son of God arose from that tomb that day. The tomb became empty. In spite of Jesus' promise, though, no one really expected Him to rise again. And so, as we find in the story, the women, they came to the tomb expecting to anoint a dead body. The guards came to the tomb that day expecting to guard a dead body. The angel came that day to announce there was no body. The tomb indeed was empty. He had risen from the dead. So let's consider this morning now from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10, the three different resurrection reactions that we'll see in this story. If you want to follow along this morning, there is an outline in your bulletin there. Crack that bulletin open, you'll find it on the left-hand side of the page there. And we'll look at the three different resurrection reactions right here in Matthew chapter 28. Now, of course, we could go on to talk about other reactions, but these are the three initial reactions to Jesus' resurrection given here in Matthew chapter 28. We first of all have the reaction of the angel. Look with me here in chapter 28, the opening verses. And what I'd like to point out with the reaction of the angel here is the fidelity that is shown in their reaction, his reaction. Matthew first tells us in verse 1 about the plans that the women had as they came to the tomb. And there are a number of women here. Not all of them are listed in Matthew's account right here. There was Mary Magdalene. There was Clopas' wife. There was Salome. There was Joanna. And there were some others. And they had come to pay tribute to a dead body. They had come to embalm the body. They had come to put spices on the body. The angel came, however, for an entirely different reason. He did not come to pay tribute to a dead body. He came to pay tribute to an empty tomb, the risen Lord, the fact that He had risen from the dead. In chapter 28, look with me now at verse 2, it says, "And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and he came and he rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance, it says, was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow." And so indeed on that day there was a great earthquake, a violent earthquake, and it shook the ground, shook the tomb. The angel descended. The angel, it says, rolled back the stone. And it says the angel sat on that stone. Now, why did these things happen? Why did the angel come that day? I'm going to let you know that he came not to let Jesus out, but to let them in, to see that Jesus had been let out. He didn't come to let Jesus out. Jesus was already out. He came to let them in. Jesus, you see, didn't need any help from an angel or from anyone else. Jesus said in John chapter 2 and verse 19, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Jesus had the power over life and death. Jesus is the one who got up from that dead slab of clay and rose from the dead. And it was only the angel that simply opened the door to reveal that reality to those who would see it. Yes, Jesus didn't need any help at all. Jesus, the angel, did not come to let him out, but to let them in. The earthquake did nothing for Jesus. It only simply announced the appearance of an angel. The angel did nothing for Jesus. The angel simply opened an empty tomb. And notice it says that he sat on the tomb there. He sat on the door of the entrance to that tomb. And that would simply be, I'll just put it this way, symbolic of two things in my mind. Number one, it was a finished deal. It was done. But number two, it also lets us know that Jesus was victorious over death. He had indeed risen from the dead. But the point is, the angel's reaction on this occasion is to simply say to the ladies, "Look, ladies, he's not here. He's not here. He is risen." And so that's what he proclaimed. The angel came as a witness today to tell those women not only that he was not there, but to tell them what to do as a result of him not being there and having risen from the dead. They had a job to do. We'll get into that a little later. But that's what the angel's reaction was on that day, to pay tribute to an empty tomb, to tell them that Jesus had risen from the dead. Secondly, we have the reaction of the guards. And the guards on this occasion, they're an interesting element to the story. And their reaction is, of course, very, very different than the other two reactions that we're looking at this morning. They certainly didn't come for the same purpose that the angels did. And their reaction was a little bit similar to the women's reaction, but really much different than theirs as well. So the guards were at the tomb for a very different reason. If you want to put it bluntly, they came there simply because they had a job to do. That was where they were told to take up their post, to sit there, stand there, whatever, be there, and make sure that no one stole his body. I want to read the verses before Matthew chapter 28. At the end of chapter 27, it says in verse 62, it says, "On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, 'Sir, we remember while he was still alive, how that deceiver said, after 3 days I will rise.' Therefore," they said, "command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, 'He has risen from the dead.'" And so the last deception will be worse than the first. Pilate said to them, "You have a guard, go your way. Make it as secure as you know how." So they went and they made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. That was an official military position. Sealing the stone and setting the guard. Not just a guard, the guard. The guard, the Roman guard. The guard that could not be penetrated. The guard that if they had to, they could call up reinforcement forces to help them out. The guard that would make sure that the job would get done. Now, guarding a dead body would actually not be very hard, would it, to guard a dead body, especially when you've got a heavy stone sealed over the entrance that no one person, certainly women could not, or these women could not lift it back. But they had a job to do. And it wasn't a hard job, but it was still a very, very serious job. They did not take this job lightly because they knew that if they didn't do the job right, guess what? That's right. Off with your heads, right? They were going to be dead. So they took it very, very seriously. Their fear was natural when you think about it. We're going to talk about their fear in just a minute. But the reality was that even if the Roman officials had set thousands of military men, soldiers there, they could not have kept Jesus from raising from the dead. But I want you to notice their reaction now in Matthew chapter 28. In verse 4 it says, very simply, verse 4 says, "The guards shook for fear of him, and they became I love this. They became like dead men. The very dead men that they would be if they did not come back and had done their job properly, making sure that the body was not stolen. They now had become like dead men. The reaction was fear. Now, there were other things that they certainly were afraid of as well. Imagine. Don't bypass the fact that before all of this, there was a violent earthquake. They were afraid of that as well. They were afraid of the earthquake. They were afraid to see that this massive stone that was rolled in front of the tomb had been pushed aside, that it was not there over the entrance. They were afraid of the angel that was sitting there. They were afraid of the bright light that came from that angel. And they were ultimately, of course, also afraid. Ultimately, really, was the angel. But they were also afraid of the fact that they'd have to go back and tell their superior that the body was not there, that they could not guard that body. So they were afraid. Their fear was natural. But you see, their fear, what it did was, it paralyzed them. It overwhelmed them. It was different than the fear that we will see from the women. They were shaken to their core to the extent that they were like dead men. They could not do what they needed to do to react properly. And this is what fear sometimes does to us. They were afraid, and it was, you know, fear is actually a healthy thing. Fear, when it comes to experiencing God and experiencing some amazing thing that He has done, can actually be a very healthy thing if it moves us to want to do the things of God. They were not open to the things of God. They might have been afraid, if they could have been afraid, to the extent that they would have then listened and learned and found out what God would want them to do, but that's not the kind of fear that they have. And again, fear will do that to many people. People today are afraid of God in a bad way. They're afraid of the Word of God. They're afraid of Jesus. They're afraid of the church. They're afraid of living for Jesus. We have people today who are afraid of sharing the gospel, the good news of Jesus. All kinds of fears that people have when it comes to God. They become like dead men. But it doesn't have to be that way. God doesn't want us to be afraid in that way. He wants us to have a fear that will move us to do the things of God, not repel and retract and walk away from God as these men did that day. Well, that's about it. That's all we have in terms of their reaction. We really don't know the rest of the story, what happened to them, but we know their fear did not move them in the right direction. But now we have the reaction of the women. I know it really gets good with the women here. What we see in their reaction is a mixture of faith, or a mixture of fear, but also a mixture of faith as well. They were afraid, but it says there that their fear was mixed with joy. Think about it. This is what they wanted all along anyway, is to have Jesus be victorious. And I think joy came into their hearts along with the fear, as it says here. How did they get this joy? Well, they didn't freeze up. Instead, they opened up their hearts to God. And Matthew leaves out some detail here about their arrival at the tomb. When they arrived, the tomb was already open. The angel was already inside. And they went in, and they saw that the body was missing, and then they saw the angel sitting in the tomb, and then the angel says to the women, "Don't be afraid." But their fear, again, generates an entirely different response than the guards. In fact, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 24 and verse 5 that their fear drove them to their knees. They bowed down, and they began to worship. They bowed down before the angel. They were ready to listen to that angel. They were ready to learn from that angel, much different than the guards. And what do they learn? Well, they learn that God knows about their fears. Why? He knows why they came to the tomb. He knows they came to seek Jesus. You see, God knows all about us anyway. He knows our fears. He knows what's going on inside of us. And He wants us to respond in a way that will move us closer to Him, unlike the guards. But these women, ironically, you know, they're searching for Jesus, but you have to know that they're searching for the wrong Jesus. They're searching for a dead Jesus. They're searching for a corpse that they're going to embalm, that they're going to anoint, that they're going to put spices on. That's the Jesus that they are looking for. And so the angel says to them in Luke chapter 24 and verse 5, he says, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is risen. He's not here. You came because you were going to be a caretaker for a dead body. Why do you seek that? He's living. He's not here. He is risen." And that's what the angel tells these women. And then they're told what to do. What were the women to do now with this mixture of fear and faith and the joy that they had at the news of Jesus being risen from the dead? He told them to go and tell the disciples. To go and tell the disciples that Jesus had risen from the dead. Now, the guards, I have an imagination that they either didn't go back to the priest or they went back and told them that they couldn't keep the body, that the body was gone. But anyway, these women, their reaction is faith. It is fear and joy which leads to obedience. In verse 8, see now, says the angel says, "Go quickly and tell his disciples he's risen from the dead, and he indeed is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." And it says, so, watch this, they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. And what did they do? They obeyed. They ran to bring his disciples word. But I like that it says, with fear and great joy, they obeyed. Along the way, Jesus repeats this message to the women that I put it up there. I didn't put it up there. But if you look at verses 9 and 10, you'll see that Jesus reiterates the message of the angel. Go tell them that He is risen. But what an incredible story. We have all these different reactions. The reaction of the guards, the reaction of the angel, the reaction of these women today. And so as we close this morning, let me simply ask you, what is your reaction? See, it's not about the bunny. It's not about the eggs. When we talk about Jesus' resurrection, it's about the fact that He is living. Now the women, they were told to believe. And I have a question for you. Do you believe? What does belief mean? Well, it is taking in information, mental assent of the mind, believing certain facts and things that you find in the Bible. You need to believe that God is, that He created this world. You need to believe that He sent His Son into the world, that Jesus was the Son of God, that Jesus did die on the cross, He was buried, and He rose again. You need to believe things about God. You need to believe things about Jesus. Yes, we must believe in the gospel, and we must obey the gospel. But we first start with faith. We must believe. Now, here's another thing. Has your faith then led to obedience? Have you obeyed? You see, the women in our story here, they were ready to obey. You know, some people today see Christianity as something that's to be studied, that is to be theologically thought out and you know, gather information and be impressed with the things of Scripture. And the Bible is impressive, but it goes beyond theory. It goes beyond theological concepts. It must be lived out in the world today. Jesus is more than a story. He is a human being who was indeed the Son of God. And Jesus must live in you today. Living in you means that you will then obey. You see, when you look at other religions, you have writings. They have, like we have the Scriptures, we have writings about Jesus, right? Writings about the Old Testament, writings about Moses and the stories of God, all, you know, from in the beginning. We have writing, but we have a man who said that He also came to be the Word. Not just a written Word, Jesus was a living Word. He modeled God's will to us today. And that's what makes Christianity different. And we need to obey. Now, the women were also ready to share Jesus. Are you ready to share Jesus with others? Ready to tell them the story of what Jesus did for you and what you did to respond to it so that you could be saved. You know, when Jesus came and gave His life for us, when He rose from the dead, we call that the gospel, death, burial, and resurrection. We believe in that. And then there must be a response. The response that we must engage in is that the Bible tells us in Acts 2:38, we must repent and we must be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of our sins, and then we'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There must be a reaction. And then we share that reaction with others that we engaged in when we obeyed the gospel through baptism. Finally, the women also were rejoicing. Are you happy today? I'm going to try it again. Are you happy today? All right. We should be the happiest people on this planet. No matter what this world throws at you, I got some good news. You're going to heaven. No better news than that. And Jesus made that a reality. We should want to share that with others. We should also want to rejoice over the fact that we will be with God in eternity one day. What has God done for you? He's given His Son so you may have life. And when Jesus is living in you, an incredible joy will fill your heart and cause you to live a life that is above this life today. You have eternal life. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." Boy, that's good news, isn't it? Doesn't have a nice ring to it? We're going to close our services right now. We're glad that you were here today. I hope that you believe in Jesus. I hope that you've made Him Lord of your life. I hope that as these women embrace that good news message that day, that you have embraced the gospel and your obedience to it by believing in Jesus, repenting of your sins, being baptized into Christ in obedience to the gospel so that you have heaven as your home. We're going to stand to sing right now our invitation song.